truly one of the all-time greats in the realm of pro wrestling managers, and it's our pleasure to welcome to the show the one and only Jim Cornette. Jim, welcome to the FDH Lounge tonight, sir.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here, and also I heard just a little bit of your previous caller, and I also am speaking to you from Louisville, Kentucky, home of the Louisville Slugger. You can't beat them.
Yeah, exactly. Although it sounds like they got a little bit of a dent taken out of them in a quart of water tonight, Jim.
Well, I didn't hear that part, but by cracky, I'm still proud of my hometown bat.
Yeah, they are. And, the wood ones especially, the aluminum ones, methinks they're going to be putting a little bit less emphasis on going forward. But
Heck, it's not a real Louisville Slugger unless it's good old-fashioned wood.
I'm with
you. They've still got people down here at the plant that can carve them by hand.
Jim, I'm a traditionalist, same as you, and I really I agree with you on that. And you know, you're a guy who you've had a lot of interesting things going on, not least of which your recent move to Ring of Honor. But I just like to go back in time, start a little bit chronologically here, because as I mentioned, again, me being a longtime fan, growing up.
Well, no, wait a minute. If you go back too far, because I'm so old chronologically, I mean, you know, when I was a kid, the Dead Sea was still sick, so we might be here all night.
Well, that's the thing, though, Jim. You were a much younger guy than I realized back in the day as a kid watching you. I never realized how close in age you were to me back in the day. My first exposure to you, of course, the same as probably a lot of people, 6:05 on the Superstation every Saturday night, and watching you with the Midnight Express there. And it's interesting because I've seen some shoot interviews that you've done, and when you talk about the approach to managing and getting things across there, and what I found fascinating was that, you know, you talked about how Dusty Rhodes would give you a couple bullet points, you know, and go out there, kid, and you got 3 minutes to talk about why, you know, this match with the Rock and Roll Express is something people should come see in Baltimore.
Exactly. It was like, you know, okay, kid, you got 3 minutes of TV time. Go sell me some tickets. And he'd say it just like that. And as a matter of fact, I sent a copy out to you guys of the Midnight Express 25th Anniversary Scrapbook. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to get there yet because, you know, we just set up the interview just a couple of days ago. But I hope you enjoy it, and maybe you can we can come on again when you've seen it and had a chance to absorb it for yourself.
I will. And, you know, and you being a traditionalist, I think you can get into this. You know, I'm the kind of fan, I think, that you deep down inside really would have loved, because, I mean, back in the day, as a kid, you know, I would be screaming for you to get your head torn off by Precious Paul or whoever, you know. I was really into it as a kid, which tells me, again, you were doing your job, you were getting people involved, you were getting people worked up. There are a few people I can think of that were ever better at drawing crowd heat than you, Jim.
Well, I appreciate that, and I have the lawsuits to prove it. But, you know, I'm really enjoying now with Ring of Honor the chance to, you know, kind of get that feeling again, because, you know, the crowds for the big major wrestling companies, WWE and TNA, have, you know, they've really gotten complacent. They kind of sit there and they cheer for the stars they know from television and make some noise when the music plays. But the Ring of Honor crowds are really more of that old-time crowd. They're into everything. They know what's going on. They know who's mad at who, and they're not embarrassed to show their opinions. So they've got some really creative chants, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I know that they do. I've been to some Ring of Honor shows. Unfortunately, it hasn't been to our Sports Talk Network flagship city of Cleveland in a while, although you were on the card, I believe, one of the times, I think, previously. It was like a commissioner type role, was it not?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was up there with Ring of Honor, I think, back in 2006.
Yeah.
That was the last year that I worked with Ring of Honor, and then for the past couple years being tied up with TNA, I'm getting back in the swing of things now, and I've been to St. Louis and Indianapolis, looking forward to going to Chicago and Philly, but we haven't got back to Cleveland yet, but more to come.
Well, I can understand that it's a company that you would be comfortable with, Jim. That makes sense to me because, again, you're well-known as a traditionalist. That's a traditional style of wrestling that they're promoting, you know, with the innovations, you know, with the aerial moves, and very 21st century as far as the presentation of it, but old school in its roots. And again, I'm not at all surprised by recently, you know, your move away from TNA, because I know there are a lot of people that were probably wondering the last couple of years how you were coexisting with that product, because it just didn't seem like...
Well, as a matter of fact, at my website, jimcornette.com, My Cornette's commentary that is up right now is all about my time in TNA, both the way I started and the way I finished, because it's such a long, complicated story, and it takes so long to tell instead of taking up everybody's airtime. When I'm asked the question, I just refer them to jimcornette.com, and they can read it at their leisure.
Well, you got a lot of good stuff there. We'll touch on that. Now you've been branching into food reviews. I mean, you've been branching into a lot of different stuff recently, Jim, and we'll be talking about that. But, yeah, I mean, Ring of Honor does seem like something that's more geared to you as far as, again, a traditional style of wrestling. Because, again, traditional styles mean different things in different eras. You couldn't quite probably put out a product right now, especially based out of Philadelphia and the Northeast, like what you were doing with Smoky Mountain in the 1990s. But that in its own way was a traditional product, just presented in a different way with a little bit of a different style.
Well, you know, the thing with Ring of Honor right now is I'm in favor of wrestling that allows the fans to pick who they like and who the stars are by letting the wrestlers go out and perform and wrestle and compete with each other and let the fans cheer or boo whoever they like, instead of concocting some ridiculous gimmick and character and putting on them and sending them out there and trying to manipulate the fans' reactions. I like Ring of Honor because they treat the business seriously. They go out as athletes. They're a bunch of kids in tremendous shape, really tremendous performers, and they go out and they bust their ass to give the fans a good show, and that's what it's all about. And more importantly, they're hungry and they're trying to climb the ladder. And I think that is a traditional pro wrestling product. That's the way that wrestling prospered for so long. You want to get better, you want to get ahead, you want to be a star. And you get to go out and show the fans what you can do instead of trying to be somebody you're not. So that's a big part of why I think the Ring of Honor is catching on, especially with the UFC and the MMA audience these days. You know, I think as long as wrestling is logical and credible and doesn't insult your intelligence, And doesn't, you know, try to be something that it's not, which is a Saturday Night Live sketch, there's that market for people who want to see athleticism and credibility in this day and age, especially with the success, as I said, of all forms of mixed martial arts. And they're young kids that were born in the 80s. You know, I want wrestling to be like it was in the 80s in terms of making sense, but I want it to be performed by guys that were born in the 80s because they're young enough to do it.
Well, the funny thing is, Jim, the words you talk about, and having seen Ring of Honor in person, I would attach them as well, logical, credible, athletic. I agree with all of that. They don't really apply themselves to TNA, and much less so after yesterday. You got to be thinking in your own head, you got out at the right time, because if that was a circus before, what's it going to be like now, huh?
Oh, you know, that's the thing. I am so tired of corporate wrestling. I've tried it. The last time when I went to work for TNA, I thought I was going to work for Friends, but they turned into a big corporation. But corporate wrestling, and I just don't get along very well at all, and I think a lot of the fans are sick and tired of it. And you talk about, a Bush and Clinton dynasty. You know, we had 4 years of Bush, then we had 8 years of Clinton, then we had four more years of Bush. When is the last time that the professional wrestling fans in the United States have been able to see a product nationally that wasn't involving either Vince McMahon, Hulk Hogan, Eric Bischoff, or Vince Russo?
Oh, exactly.
I mean, it's time for new blood, fresh ideas, and a new approach. And I don't think regardless of any of the success that Hogan and McMahon and Bischoff may have had, Russo's never had any. But it's time for something different, new ideas, fresh approaches, different faces. And I just don't see how that's going to help TNA build moving forward for the future.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that would feel the same way, that would question where they're going, what their approach is. They just seem to have bought into another savior.
Well, you know, company. 6 weeks ago I was hearing, oh, you got to be 100% behind Vince Russo. You got to be 100% behind Vince Russo's creative vision. And they just hired a guy that hates Vince Russo and basically came out in public and said, yeah, he'll be okay as long as he doesn't get out of place. If he does, if he steps out of line, I'll have to do something about him. Who are they going to like next month? Oh, you know, it's too much pressure for me at my advanced age.
Exactly. You know, and the thing is, too, I think people who have a traditionalist mindset take a bad rap a lot of times because sports entertainment is probably a hackneyed word to use for it, but or a hackneyed phrase. But there's a room for that kind. There's room for that kind of stuff in there if done the right way. An example would be what you did with a previous guest of ours on the show, by all accounts, one of the nicest guys in the business, J.J. Dillon. When you guys had the little short-lived thing going back in 88, and you guys had, I think, at least it was the one match. I mean, there's room for that kind of stuff. You and J.J. knew how to work together. It was great entertainment. It didn't detract from it at all.
Well, you know, the thing is, sports entertainment has gone so far. This is the only business I can think of where the people running it are the ones who know the least about what the fans that buy it or that consume the product want to see. They keep going back to the same things. They don't change anything. The one thing I think you shouldn't change is logic, is credibility, is the idea that, hey, this is what we do, and we're not going to make a mockery out of it. Other than that, I think that basically sports entertainment has just made wrestling ineffectual because it's all part of a dog and pony show. Nobody can make an emotional investment in the matchups anymore. It's become silly. Instead of guys going out and wrestling for a championship or money or a personal issue, they're going out and wrestling because one guy was messing around with the other guy's sister's wife's girlfriend's lesbian nun. And you just tune it out.
Exactly. It takes, you know, master practitioners, you know, as far as, you know, managers and creative minds to be able to come up with things.
Well, people from outside wrestling that get in creative positions spend their entire time that they write the wrestling, trying to write wrestling to appeal to people who don't watch wrestling.
Right.
They think, we'll get all of those people and then we'll have everybody. No, they don't get those people because those people don't care what they do because they don't watch wrestling. And the ones that watch wrestling don't appreciate having people put on a show for someone else. They want to watch wrestling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there are some things we want to get into with you here tonight, Jim, because this is the show, the FDH Lounge, where, as we say, nothing is off topic. We like to talk about all different types of things. You've been expanding into some other things on your website recently, some things apart from the core areas of wrestling where people would generally associate with Jim Cornette. Restaurant reviews, we're going to get into that in a minute here. Something I found to be very intriguing, because I never had a hint of any of your thoughts on these matters previously, in reference to some stuff that Joey Styles put up, even doing some political commentaries recently. Something I found great irony in. I don't know if you've thought about this, reflected on it or not, but Paul Heyman, an individual who I know that you've had some differences with over the years, as best as I can tell, your politics sort of are pretty much aligned with his. Do you find any irony in that at all?
Well, no, because, you know, when it comes down to it, Paulie probably has, he's betting on the winner. He's agreeing with my politics because he's going to make some kind of money off off that if it transpires. No, you know, it's just, I made some political commentaries because of the election season and paying particularly close attention to the stock market over the past year and a half or so. And it just galls me that, you know, here, once again, change, fresh faces, different ideas. That's what the country needs to get out of the mess that the Republicans got us into for 8 years. President Cheney and Vice President Bush. And, you know, Obama comes along. He's got a fresh face and new ideas, and he's speaking to us instead of at us. And he sounds like he's an articulate, intelligent person instead of a bumbling goof that we have had representing us around the world for the past 8 years. And still, the special interests, whether it be the insurance companies or Wall Street or the health industry in general, doesn't want things to change because they make a lot of money that way, and they're firing the people up that would be of benefit to the health care reform, would be of benefit to changes that are being made, and making them afraid of the President of the United States. And it's ridiculous. Of course he was born in Hawaii, you idiots. No, he's not Kenyan. You think the first black president would have gone so far as to get elected if there was anything provable they could find on this guy? Give it up. I know a lot of people are ticked off because the black guy won. but let him make some changes that we desperately need in this country, whether it be in health care reform or whether it be in business or whether it be in the wars that we are currently fighting that probably weren't necessary, at least one of them. It's just amazing to me that, you know, the conservatives will not get out of the way because they don't want to see the country change. But the country's already changed, and what worked then does not work now. So we need to fix this, update it. I'd like to see somebody take care of the bridges and roads. When the president tells the school kids, study hard and stay in school, he's indoctrinating them. It's ridiculous. It's like wrestling promoters are trying to make you mad at the heel to stop him from doing his work.
You know, that's an interesting analogy right there to the world of pro wrestling. But I got another one that I want to make here, too. I want to go back to something you wrote in one of your political commentaries. You were talking about, as you're driving through some of the red states, listening to talk radio and that kind of setting you off. So you would reference that. And I'm guessing that some of these were probably southern states, perhaps even in the bounds of where you used to promote Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Well, no, but actually, if you've got a serious satellite radio, you can get them anywhere.
Okay.
And that's the problem, whether it be the Rush Limbaughs or the Sean Hannitys or the Glenn Becks or the Bill O'Reillys or the Michael Levines, this real right-wing cretin. They're firing people up, making people dangerous. If you haven't noticed, right-wing politics and conservative and Christian issues attract a lot of mental incompetence. If nobody's noticed this, whack jobs, lunatics, people that carry guns, automatic assault rifles even, to political gatherings involving the President of the United States, and they think that's showing off freedom. They want you to have freedom if you're in the club, right? But you got to be in the club. If you're a different color, you don't have all those rights. If you're gay or lesbian, you don't have all those rights. If you want to have an abortion, you don't have all those rights. If you don't believe in God, you don't have all those rights. Or if you don't believe in my version of God, you don't have all those rights. They narrow it down, and then they protect their freedoms to hold their guns and go to church. Because it's a very small group, and many of them happen to be crackpots. And when these conservative talk show hosts stir them up cutting these promos that came straight off of Saturday Night Wrestling, then what happens? Somebody goes out sooner or later and acts on it. And maybe they go in the clinic and they shoot the abortion doctor in the face. Boy, that solves a lot of problems.
Yeah,
thinking. It's just me. I could be wrong.
Well, you know, and it's interesting, you know, Jim, I want to ask you about this. I want to draw on that a little bit more, particularly the racial aspect that you talked about here. A lot of the people listening to talk radio and sort of going in these directions as far as what they believe and everything like that, to me, and maybe this is just a superficial thing, are these not a lot of the same fans that perhaps back in the days of Smoky Mountain were being conditioned to boo the crap out of the gangsters and boo, and these guys from South Central suck? I mean, is there a bleed over in that? And again...
Sure there is.
How do you feel about that?
Because we were trying to get people in a mountain region to boo bad guy wrestlers.
Okay.
They're different. They're from L.A., and they're even black, and it's on the news, but it's wrestling. It's bad guy wrestlers. Nobody had firearms.
Okay.
We weren't suggesting that you burn our political leaders in effigy.
Okay.
Nobody was going to be assassinated at a political rally because of an angle on a wrestling show.
Okay.
This is serious.
Sure.
This is what concerns me because this affects all of us, and it's involving people who make laws that govern our lives.
I got you. I wanted to hear your thoughts on that there.
See, that's the thing. I recognize it when I see it.
Okay.
But instead of giving some people some entertainment for their $10 for their wrestling ticket, boo those bad guys and cheer those good guys, now it's, well, let's stop health care for another generation. Or let's get involved in another war. Or holy mackerel, those gay people, they can't have the right to get married and be miserable like all the rest of us. You know, this is serious stuff that affects people's lives, not their entertainment dollar.
Okay. All
That's
right.
Why it really, it's amazing to me that people can get by with it. How can you get by with publicly lying to the American public? There are elected officials that do this on television every day with the ridiculous stories they spread about Obama, or even just with the fact of they often say, you may see many of the conservative Christians in the legislature, well, because the earth is 6,000 years old, do they not believe in science now? Have we got to go back and prove that the earth is not flat? We're in the 21st century. I think some things should be taken for a given at this point. Among them is we need to fix our stuff for future generations and not worry about the budget, because we're in the middle of a recession and we're liable to have a Great Depression, and then who cares about the budget anyway?
Well, you've gotten into these issues recently, and of course that's been very interesting, as people have heard here tonight. Also, these restaurant reviews, and it was.
You're just a big foodie. You love the restaurant reviews.
Yeah,
admit
those,
it.
Those are great. And I guess my producer, Steve Cervillo, had done some inquiring here and had ascertained you've not been to Abdullah's place yet in Atlanta. As somebody who has, it is top-notch, Jim. Next time you're in the ATL, you need to get down there. It's not in a great neighborhood, so, you know, go in the daytime. But, boy, the food is great.
Well, I've been wanting to go, but the one thing I was concerned is, would he give me a plastic fork to eat with? That's one of those lines that only the real wrestling fans are going to figure out.
Yes, exactly. I had the pleasure of meeting him there, and it was funny because there was an elderly woman that was sitting there, and when he came in, she was like, Mr. the Butcher, Mr. the Butcher. So it was kind of funny, but well, nice
well,
guy.
The feud, the food review came about because, you know, I go to so many different places for wrestling trips, and my wife and I are both foodies and love the Food Network. So we started doing little reviews, whether it be a diner, a drive-in, or a dive. I'll tell you about the best chicken wings or the best cheeseburger or the best fried fish or what have you. We've done everything from fine Italian dining to takeout burgers.
Yeah, you've covered some really interesting things on there, not least of which we've got some we got a couple of these in our area, the Quaker Steak and Lube, and I noticed that I think that was the first one you did one on, and you
oh boy oh yes
PA.
And as a matter of fact, I was just there in West Virginia Saturday night and
okay.
Ate two buckets of wings. You can't beat it with a stick.
I love their stuff. Yeah, you used to be able to get it at the basketball arena in town. I don't know if they've still got it at the concession stands. There they do? Yeah, okay. My producer says that they do. And, yeah, their stuff is...
Oh, yeah, like you needed to ask somebody. I mean, you've eaten so many of them things, if you raise your arm up, you got feathers in your armpit.
Oh, I love their stuff. Their food is awesome. Yeah, your reviews are really interesting. The ones from you, I am...
And did we mention those are at JimCornette.com?
Yes, JimCornette.com.
I said again, JimCornette.com.
Absolutely. JimCornette.com is an excellent resource for finance. Trust me, we're gonna pimp your stuff thoroughly here tonight, Jim. But, of course... as far as some of the personalities you've worked with in the business, I would be remiss if I didn't mention my aforementioned producer, Steve Cervillo, who yesterday was at the happenings at MSG and spoke with your old colleague, Jimmy Hart, who wanted to give you a shout-out here. I said that he had great fun, great memories of your intersection in Memphis years ago.
Oh, Jimmy is truly the mouth of the South, and he never changes. I mean, he must be 94 years old now, but he never changes. And he gets about 4 hours of sleep a night. He's so hyper, he's bouncing off the walls.
Yeah. I mean, you've had the pleasure of working with, you know, some tremendous individuals like that. The members in the Midnight Express themselves over the years, and it was a little bit of a changing lineup from time to time. My personal favorite as a fanboy was the last rendition of it with Eaton and Lane. But you know, all of them were great in their own different ways. What are some of those guys up to these days?
Well, as a matter of fact, Stan Lane has been retired from wrestling for a while. He did a couple of matches last year because his wife, they've been married for a couple of years, had never actually seen him wrestle. But he's been retired for a while, and he does boat racing commentary for a television show for, I believe it's American Power Boats. They've been on the Speed Channel and Outdoor Network, etc. Dennis Condrey, for quite some time, has owned a stable in Colorado, where he trains and boards horses, but he lives back in Alabama now, and he kind of manages it in absentia and does some of the wrestling reunion shows. That's what we were doing this past weekend, and Bobby Eaton does as well. So we still see each other from time to time. We'll do about three or four of them a year just to prove we can still make it to the ring.
That's tremendous. That's got to be great for you guys to get to do that together. It's got to be great for the fans to get to see it and to be able to relive a piece of their youth. Of course, everybody calls.
Well, sometimes I think it's more fun for us than it is for the fans, but I'd like to think it's fun for both.
Yeah, I got to think it's fun for both also, Jim. And people get to see that and everything. But what's great is, you know, with JimCornette.com, as you mentioned, you know, and with interviews that you're doing with shows here like tonight, it's good because you're getting across now you know, different pieces of yourself. People are used to seeing you, you know, in the wrestling persona, but, you know, you've now had platforms to speak on politics and food and everything else like that. It's got to be an exciting chapter in your life, and now moving to Ring of Honor, and, of course, people can follow that all that, as you said, at JimCornette.com.
I think, you know, on the website, I've got wrestling, I've got politics, I've got food. If we just figure out a way to get sex on there for some reason, I'd have everything covered.
Well,
but I look terrible topless.
One can only imagine what those rants might sound like here, too. from having seen and heard a lot of yours, you know, over the years, I can only imagine. But everything on there is just very entertaining, very, very thought-provoking and stuff. I mean, and I'll just say this, too. I mean, as somebody who, you know, comes to, you know, different conclusions on some political issues than you, I have to say, you know, you are very well-read, well-researched. Your stuff on there where you're talking about stuff going back to the days of FDR, agree or disagree with you, Jim Cornette, your stuff is well-reasoned. It's a good, rational point of view that you're coming at these things from, and it's just exciting to see all the other workings of your brain as they spill out on JimCornette.com.
Oh, they spill out all right. And, you know, just like my mother used to say, if you can't dazzle them with brilliance, baffle them with BS.
Yeah,
and that's what I try to do. And
yes.
I've got, you know, some more projects for 2010 that I'm working on with the website that evolve around classic wrestling. I had such good feedback with my Midnight Express 25th anniversary scrapbook that I'm planning another book for probably springtime, maybe early summer, of classic wrestling photos. That's how I got started in the business. Years ago in the 70s and early 80s, I was at ringside shooting the Jerry Lawler and Andy Kaufman match. I took rookie year pictures of Hulk Hogan. And so I still have all those photos, and I'm working on assembling those into my next book. And also working on some more classic wrestling videos to be released, because that's what my site is tailored for, really, as the fan of classic wrestling, or just anybody that likes to read things and hear silly people and get tickled every now and then.
Well, it's an interesting site because, again, you do get to follow all of this, everything that you're doing in the realm of classic wrestling and classic wrestling, you know, as it's presented today, I guess, in the form of ROH. And some other type things like that. It's great to get to follow. I'm glad you sort of anticipated where I was going with that, because I wanted to make sure that you got a chance to plug all of these other things. But JimCornette.com, that is basically...
Oh, golly, and I forgot. I'm selling the Slap Chop now. I can't do this all day.
Yeah, well, you know, Vince is going to need somebody to do that for him if he goes to the pokey for that brawl with the hooker. So you could step right in there for him. But,
you know, and I think it was really rude of him to try to bite her tongue off.
Yeah, I understand. He said, camera guy, you better not be getting this. But
yeah, because he can't do it all day.
Yeah, but that's, you know. It's,
apparently she didn't love his nuts.
No, apparently not. Apparently not. But, yeah, JimCornette.com is where everyone can follow this. But, again, like I said, Jim, it's a pleasure to get to talk wrestling and other things with you. You're a fascinating guy to have on the show here. We look forward, hopefully, to having you back here at some point and talking about your projects as they continue to evolve.
Hey, just have your minion, Steve, give me a buzz, and I'd be more than happy to come on anytime.
Oh, he will do that, Jim. We'll take you up on that. Thank you. It was a great pleasure, Jim. Thanks for the time, sir.
Thanks very much. I appreciate the opportunity.